Good. Test, test. Is that okay? Good. We had 8 or 9 guest speakers lined up, and none of them showed, so the program has been abbreviated. There's some people have graduated this last week. We'll announce them. Then maybe I'll think of something clever to say, and then David has a short talk. Open houses will continue to be here at this address for a while. So I do want to thank you for coming and invite you to bring others consecutive Sundays. Okay? Some recent graduates this last 7 days were someone by the name of Jim Lester, Advanced Ability 5. John Riesdorf completed Advanced Ability 5 and Advanced Ability 6. Brad Small completed Advanced Ability 5. Jorge Solorzano completed Advanced Ability 2. Sarah Toutelier completed Advanced Ability 3. And Charlie Hayes completed Solo Course, Advanced Ability 1, and Advanced Ability 2. Yay! Pam Harmon, Advanced Ability 2. Ignacio Espinosa completed Advanced Ability 2. Yay! And Patty Dance completed Advanced Ability 5. Normally, thanks to all of our graduates. Hey. Normally now, David would spend a few minutes talking about some of the international occurrences, sort of news of the last week, and give you a briefing on what's happened. But it appears that nothing has happened this last week. So with the total absence of international news, yeah, there are those kinds of things. I feel sort of uncomfortable giving you like sort of expansion wins because I know the church used to do that to you all the time. Tell you, you know, we had 87 churches opened and all of that. I know there was it was a small org in Phoenix with a staff of 12, and somehow 7 of the staff members decided to leave and resign to open up an independent center. So that's happening this week. And John Nelson is there, I guess, formalizing the arrangements. I did talk with a couple of our auditors in South Africa about at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And it's my understanding that they have something like 28 people now waiting for services, that the photo there has closed down, and that more or less South Africa has gone independent. They're in the process of getting a much larger place with lots of extra bedrooms because people are waiting too long. And it appears that that story of lots of old Scientologists who have been offline for many years are being reawakened, and it's pretty exciting. Now I know, I mean, as I stand here and say these things, you're going, oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, 342 centers we opened last week. No, but that was just, those are simply some of the things which came on the phone today, and there is lots of activity, but for the most part, it's just part of that process of people all over the world opening up small independent centers, and the game goes on. I think at last count, there's 142, 143 independent centers now formally exist. John Nelson will be leaving on a month's vacation next week. Supposedly he's going to stop and visit some of these places. And we'll get a report on just what's happening in different parts of the world when he gets back. Right now, it's sort of hard to keep up. People ask us what's happening here, what's happening there. But it's one of those transient periods where it changes so fast. It's hard to even say. I think we just simply know that right now it's happening. It meaning independent centers opening up. The rate of about one a week. So that's the news. Let's bring on David.
Well, today I thought I'd talk a little bit about what's going on currently and what I think we're heading for in the next few weeks and months and so on. When people come to visit me for the center for the first time and tell me that they're sitting on the fence or that they want some more data, basically they're trying to find out if this place is okay and if what we're doing is okay or not. And I'm sure that you run into it probably more than I do, and having to answer people's questions about what we're doing and why, and why did it all happen. One of the things that is very obvious from having been asked a lot of the same questions is that a lot of people go from one person to another and they ask them questions, and one person tells them one thing and somebody else tells them another, and then they try to decide which is the truth. They're trying to base their decision or their evaluation of what's going on based on what people say or which document somebody can give them to read. They may read some newspaper article and then they want to know if what they read there was true or whatever. And that kind of stuff isn't really the thing to base any decisions on, because it's simply what somebody's saying. And it may sound like data, but it's not really. It's just simply what somebody's saying. Just this afternoon, somebody told me about a PL, a policy letter that's just recently come out, a 1984 policy letter on the subject of prices and money. And the opening part of it speaks of the fact that Scientology was intended for the able. And of course, following on from that, you can see why anyone who can't afford the current rates that some organizations charge obviously have confessed to being unable. Anyway, that type of tactic or that type of data evaluation, I don't feel there's any point in. And commonly, when people start questioning what's going on in the organization or what's going on in the church, they're very frequently asked what condition they're in. And it's always, if it's not stated, it's always implied what lower condition are you in. The condition might actually be power change, who knows. But just to make a very mundane example of it, if you were to buy a washing machine and went into a store and looked at a Maytag and a Whirlpool, General Electric wouldn't immediately assign you a condition of doubt. And I feel that that's the same point applies. But what I think is useful in trying to decide about these things is, first of all, there's the goals and purposes and aims of Dianetics and Scientology, the original ones. And I'm talking here about very broad and commonly known things like, you know, a world without fear and without insanity and without criminality and goals of improving conditions for individuals and in society and in the civilization. Basically, these all have to do with helping oneself and helping other people and bringing about a better place to live in, or bringing about a better life. And I feel that those, if you have a person look at the goals and purposes of Dianetics and Scientology, such as those, and then look at, is any individual organization, or perhaps any individual person, whether they're affording those purposes, or whether they're obstructing them, or even simply not contributing toward them, then that gives one a worthwhile basis on which to make an opinion. And of course, there's always the old test of judging a person or an organization by its products. You know, does it get results or doesn't it get results? And one could clarify that further by, are the results it gets positive results, or are they not so good? And on that basis, people can easily decide. So I'm expressing these points because I think they're of general interest to us all, because we all run into people that have questions and want to know what we're doing and so on. One of the things that's come up with several people recently, and it's largely as a result of recent adverse press, both here in America and overseas, some of the press, of course, fails to differentiate between the church and the independent movement, and the danger is that the whole subject can fall into discredit because of the exposure of various untoward occurrences that have gone on. To a large degree, I feel it's important to recognize that basically what we're dealing with there is N-theta. And it's not a question of whether it's true or not, because very often N-theta can be true. All N-theta isn't lies. But it is N-theta all the same. And people generally are very heavily affected either by theta or N-theta. So much so that I know that anybody could make up a list, and a very factual list, of things that are wrong in society or in a particular community or in the nation or with the economy. And if you looked at an even factual list of everything that was wrong, it could make you feel pretty caved in. Mainly because it excludes all the things that are right. And so actually they tend to balance out, and it's not so bad after all. But too much exposure to N-theta tends to lower a person's tone level. And what we're trying to do is not so much, and I'm speaking about in the AAC and in the Free Scientology movement generally, we're not particularly trying, as I see it, we're not particularly trying to expose the truth for the sake of exposing the truth. We're really trying to raise people's tone levels and to help them and make them more effective in whatever way we can. And to the degree that we do that, I feel that we will have done something worthwhile. And to the degree that we don't do that, then there would not have been any point in anything that we set out to do. So it isn't a matter of what's going on today in the independent movement varies tremendously from one center and from one person to another. But underneath it all, there seems to be a very common denominator of an urge to help people and to get away from various falsities or pretenses that have gone on in the past, and just to simply sit out and do what we can to help the people closest at hand and through them other people further away. And I think that's, although it might sound like a much smaller scale target than what we've been used to hearing about, I feel it's much more real. And it's something that I know we can do something about every day. And I think it's much more rewarding in the long run. Somewhat on the basis that if you, you know, if you chip a little bit of N-theta or charge off each day and convert it to some sort of a positive gain, even small, that it'll have a cumulative effect and things will build up. I was asked just recently how many staff we had at the AAC, and we had to count them up to answer the question, and it comes to 22 at the moment, which I hadn't realized actually. They're not all here at the moment. Several of them are out in various other parts, either of the states, or a couple of them are out in another country, in South Africa. So they're not all around here at the moment, but there are now 22 staff, and so I guess it's growing. Last time somebody asked me how many staff there were, I think it was 18, and so I should be asked how many there are from time to time, I guess, so I can keep track of it. And it's kind of pleasing because basically we haven't gone all out on any kind of a promotional or expansion campaign. We've gone along on the basis that we would try and provide high quality service with ARC and at affordable rates and so on. And we figured that if we did a good job of that, it would grow and so on, and it obviously is. As for the future, it seems that we're not having any waves or avalanches of new things happening or fast expansion particularly, although as Harvey mentioned earlier, there's usually each week we hear of about one or more new centers starting up somewhere. But rather than big things, it seems that we're on a very steady and stable growth period, which I think is very highly desirable. It saves a lot of randomity and it enables everybody to do a better job. So things look pretty hopeful because I think it's going to continue on that way for some time. And I talked last week about subjects like help and control, and I don't intend to repeat that today, except to say that in any way that you can help somebody else from day to day by applying the tech, to that degree you're winning. And they are, and the whole movement is. And that's the thought for today. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much. One really very quick disgusting sales pitch. These shirts are available for $15. And they're over there, and all I can do is find a staff member and beg him to accept your $15, and he will give you a wonderful shirt. Hope to see you again next week, and from now on, bye-bye.